Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Moed Katan Daf Chof Vav. We begin on the very last two words of Chof Hey Omid Beis with Tanu Rabbanan. The Braisa tells us Tanu Rabbanan returned to Chof Vav Omid Aleph. The following people, when you rip kriya for them, this is the type of kriya that can never be sewn back up. We had already learned this in regards to a mother or father, that type of a ripping that you do, ripping kriya nebuch on the death of a mother or father, is never allowed to be fully sewn up. It's allowed to be partially sewn up, but never fully sewn up. And there's a list of other people that you rip kriya for that also can't be fully sewn up, as opposed to the other five relatives, Rechmona Lutzlan, a son or a daughter, a brother or a sister, or a spouse. Those rippings can, after the shloshim period, be fully sewn up. So the Elu, the Braisa tells us, Korin she'ein misachin, these are never allowed to be fully sewn up. Hakoreya al-aviv al-imo, that we already learned previously, and the Braisa lists them as well, for mother or father, Rachmana Lutzlan, v'al-rabo shelimdo Torah, and for your Rebbe that taught you Torah. So when you're ripping Torah for your Rebbe Muvhak, this is really talking about a person not that just taught you a halacha one time, but this is talking about a person that taught you the majority of your Torah, your Rebbe Muvhak, your Rabbo Shlim Do Torah, your Rebbe that taught you Torah, so such a Rebbe, and you're ripping Kriya for him, so then that never can be sewn up as well. Likewise, Yal Nasi, the head of Klai Yisrael, if the Nasi passes away, so everybody's required to rip Kriya for the Nasi, and in this situation, you're never allowed to sew it up. Likewise, Yal Av Beisdin, the head of the Beisdin, so if that person, Nebuch, is Nifter, that great Gadol is Nifter, so you rip Kriya for him, and you're never allowed to sew it up. Yal Shmuel Saros, Rechmona Lutzlan, if there's terrible news, if there's terrible things that happen to Klai Yisrael, and we rip Kriya over those terrible things, so then you're not allowed to ever tear you can't ever fully repair it. Likewise, if you Rechmona Lutzlan here, Ral Birchas Hashem, Birchas Hashem is a euphemism, means literally to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, but that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the opposite. Rechmona Lutzlan, if somebody blasphemes, if they curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, so Al Birchas Hashem, that's the euphemism that we use for this. So in this situation, Rechmona Lutzlan, if you heard this, so then you have to rip Kriya. That type of Kriya can also never be ever sewn up. The Gemara will go through all the reasons, the sources for all of this. And likewise, if you say for Torah Shinisraf, Rechmona Lutzlan, if the Sefer Torah is burned, so you rip Kriya. If you see that, and that type of Kriya is also never allowed to be sewn up. And finally, the last three, which are to a certain extent, halacha lemaisa, even today, v'al ori Yehuda, v'al hamikdash, v'al Yushalayim, if a person sees Nebuch in destruction, the cities of Yehuda, his whole discussion as to whether that's true today, the cities of Yehuda are, Baruch Hashem, no longer in ruins, but of course, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, and of course, we don't have everything that we want in Eretz Yisrael today. So, v'al ori Yehuda, if you see the cities of Yehuda that are Nebuch in destruction, in ruin, on the Beis HaMikdash, on the Har HaBayis, Yerushalayim, in the city of Yerushalayim. So for these, at least at certain times, and even today, under certain situations, a person has to rip Kriya, and that Kriya can never be fully sewn up. And finally, this Bryce has one additional item. It says, V'koreya al-Mikdash, if a person saw the Mikdash first, and he was Koreya, he ripped on seeing the Beis HaMikdash, and then he sees Yerushalayim in its destruction. He came in a way that he didn't see Yerushalayim. He was in a box, let's say. The person goes up in a car, and he doesn't see Yerushalayim, has tinted windows. And he goes straight up to the area where he can see the Mikdash, and then he sees the Yerushalayim afterwards. So then he has to add on to that Kriya that he did for the Mikdash, who most of our Yerushalayim, and the Gemara will discuss what this last part of the Bryce means. So that's the Braisa, and now we'll discuss each part of it. What is the source to see that A, rip Kriya, and B, that it's a Kriya that can never be fully sewn up? So we dissect the Braisa. Of the Imo, those we already had explained previously, the Rabo, Shalim, Do Torah, Minolan. How do we know that these three categories, Nebuch, if you're ripping for your mother, your father, or for your Rebbe, Muvok, that you're not allowed to go and never sew them back up? This is based upon the Pasuk. We have in Melachim Beis, which deals with when Elisha sees his Rebbe, Eliyahu HaNavi, go up to Shemayim. So he says, Elisha Roeh, Elisha sees Eliyahu going up, Roeh, v'hu mitzayik. He calls out in agony, and he says, Avi, Avi, that's a reference to directly his Rebbe, his father, so to say. Person's Rebbe is like their father, and he says, Avi, Avi, Rechev Yisrael u'parashav. He refers to Eliyahu as the Rechev Yisrael u'parashav. And then the rest of the pasuk, which we don't quote here right now, I'll quote in a minute, so I'll read the rest of the pasuk now. It says, "V'lo ra'ahu," he didn't see him anymore. Od vayechazek bivugadav, he holds on to his clothing. Vayekareim l'shnayim kiroim, and he rips his clothing. Here we see the source to rip kriya, which we'll see in a moment. In any event, now we dash in the first part of the pasuk first. Avi, avi, that's a reference to as avi v'imo. This is an allusion here to both the father and the mother. This double lashon. Rechev yisrael uparashav, that's a reference to zerabo shalim do Torah. This is his rebbe, the rebbe Muvok, who taught him Torah. How is this a reference to his rebbe? Where do you see Rechev yisrael uparashav being his rebbe? My mashma, how did that teach us this? So kidim atagim Rav Yosef. We have throughout Shas Rav Yosef, who was blind, was an expert on Targum, because this is Torah Shebichsav, and you're really not supposed to learn it by heart. So he learned it through the Targum, and therefore he would be an expert. And we find throughout Shas, Kimetagim Rav Yosef, as Rav Yosef learned the Targum, and he said, Rebbe, Rebbe, the Targum says, Rebbe, Rebbe, the Tav Lahon Yisrael, you are as good for Klai Yisrael, Bitzluse, with your davening, right? We always say it's slow, say tiskabel slow song. You accept our tefillos, but slow say you're as good with your tefillah. May resichin uparoshin. You are much more benefit to Klal Yisrael through your davening than if we had resichin uparoshin. That would be the tanks and the tank drivers, the chariots and the horsemen. So you are better for us than them. So that's how we see that the first part of the pasuk is referring to a father, mother, avi, avi, and rechvi sol parashav, the Rebbe Mufak. And how do we know velo misachin milolim? How do we know that you have to rip kriya? How do you know that you're never not allowed to sew that kriya up? Because at the end of the pasuk, the silva yichazek bivugadav, he grabbed onto his clothing, Elisha, vayikarim lishnayim krum, and he ripped it into two pieces. And from the fact that it says v'mashu shenema vayikarim, that he ripped it, so I know ein yodeh lishnayim. We had this drasha previously. Don't I know that it means that he ripped it into two pieces? So what does it have to tell us? This extra verbiage. So therefore, elam alami shikurum v'omdim lishnayim liolam, that it has to be ripped into these two pieces forever. It's liolam. Some are encouraged the word lishnayim. We had this discussion previously. The bottom line here is it means that it's never allowed to be sewn back up, and that's the drasha, and that's how we know the first three, Avi, Avi, and Rechev, Yisrael, Parashav, father, mother, and the Rebbe Muvok. Amar Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan, Reish Lakish said to Rav Yochanan, wait a second, why did Elisha rip Kriya? We know that Elio Lomais, Elio Chayhu, he was still alive, he went up to Shemayim alive, and we constantly say that people have Gilu Elio, they see Elio, Elio comes back to this world all the time, so Elio didn't die, so why was he ripping Kriya when he wasn't dead? So it's a very good question. Reish Lakish asks Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan gives a very good answer. Amar Leih, Kivan Dersiv Elo Ro, oh, the Pasuk that I read said that he didn't see him anymore, so that implies Ligabe Didei, from Elisha's viewpoint, Kemei's dummy. He was never going to see his Rebbe again. So therefore, from his point of view, the Rebbe was considered dead, and therefore that's why he ripped Kriya. And that's the appropriate action that Elisha should have taken and did take. Now we go to the next items in the Braisa, the Nosi, the Avbezdin, Ushmuos Horos. You know, the next three were for the Nasi, the head of Klal Yisrael, the head of the Beis Din, and Nebuch on hearing terrible news. So you rip Kriya. How do we know that that Kriya needs to be done and that it's a permanent Kriya? So here we have a passage from Shmuel Beis, and this deals with Nebuch when Shaul and Yonasan and some of Shaul's other sons and all of Klal Yisrael suffered a terrible defeat at the hands of the Plishtim, and Shaul and his sons were killed. Vayechazeg David b'vigad David. David heard the news. He grabbed onto his clothing, vayikarem, and he ripped his clothing. The gam kol hanashim asher ito, and everybody that was with him as well, they all ripped Kriya. Vayisbedu, they made hespedim. Vayivku, and they cried. Vayatsumu on erev, and they fasted. The pasuk continues. Why did they fast? Al Shaul, v'al Yehonasan b'no, v'al am Hashem, v'abeis Yisrael. We noticed the word Al each time, which will be an important part of the drush in a moment. So Nebuch, they cried about Shaul and Yonasan that were killed, and all the rest of Klai saw there was a great loss. A lot of people were killed. Kinoflu b'charv, they all, Nebuch died at this battle with the Plishtim. And it was a tremendous loss for Klai Yisrael. Shaul was a great king. Yonasan was a great person. And the rest of Klai Yisrael that was lost, there was were great people. And therefore, this was a tremendous loss for Klai Yisrael. Now we dash in the Pasuk. So Shaul, that's a reference to the Nasi. Shaul was the Melech. So that's the reference to the Nasi. And you see that you have to rip Kriya. Yonasan, he was the Av Beis Din. That's the equivalent of having to rip Kriya for the Av Beis Din. It's Av Beis Din. And Al-Am Hashem, the Av Beis Yisrael, that's the Shmuel's Rose, Elu Shmuel's Rose, that a person has to rip Kriya for. Now, Amalei Rav Bar Shaba L'Rav Kahana, the Emo Ad Havu Kulo, maybe you need all three of these in order to rip Kriya. Any one alone wouldn't be enough. That's what Rav Bar Shaba says to Rav Kahana. maybe you need to have both the Nasi and the Av Beis Din and terrible Nusul Klai Yisrael to Rav Kriya. But if you only had one or two of the three, that wouldn't be enough. So Amalei, so Rav Kahana says back to Rabbi Shaba, no, that's why we had the word Al Shol, the Al Yehonah's son, Beno, the Al Amashem, Al, Hiv Siko Inyun. Each time it said Al, that tells you no, on that alone would have been enough to Rav Kriya. And you don't need all three, but any one of the three would be enough to Rav Kriya. Now, some say that there's a piece of the Gemara that's missing over here, and that's the point that how do we know that this is a permanent ripping that can never be sewn up? And some say that we make a Gzeirah Shavah over here, as we're going to make later on, Vayikru, to teach us that it's a permanent type of a ripping that can never be sewn up. In any event, before we go on to the next drasha, how do we know that the others in the Brisa are also not allowed to be sewed up? So the Gemara asks, is it really true? Well, me, Karina, and Ashmuel's Haros, is this drasha really correct that you have to go and rip Kriya when you hear bad news? I'll show you a case where somebody heard terrible news and didn't rip Kriya. And certainly that person, if the din was that you rip Kriya, would have done so. And that's Shmuel, the great Shmuel. V'ha Amru Leh L'Shmuel, they told Shmuel that Nebuch Kotal Shvurmalka. Shvurmalka was a certain king. And he killed Tracer Alpha Yehudoi. He killed 12,000 Jews, Rachmana Litzlan. Tracer Alpha Yehudoi, the Mezigas Kesari, in a certain place known as Mezigas Kesari, an area near Caesarea. So therefore, he didn't rip Kriya of a low Korah. So how can you tell me a Shmuel's Rose? Isn't that a Shmuel's Rose? Why didn't he rip Kriya? So it says, no, simple answer. Because Lo Amru, we only said that you have to rip Kriya al Shmuel's Rose, Ela Barov Tzibur, Uchamaisa Shahoya. It's only in a situation where it was Rov Tzibur, as terrible as those 12,000 people that were killed by Shvur Malka, that wasn't called Rov Tzibur. How you actually define Rov Tzibur is not for now, but it means a sizable chunk of Klai Yisrael. And in addition, it has to be like the Maisa Shahoya, that they died in a way. Rashi, in the regular Rashis over here, tells us that this means like the similar situation with Shaul and Yehonasan. They were killed in battle, and the killings that Shvur Malka had done were not done in a battle situation, and therefore it wasn't Kamaisa Shahoya, and therefore Shmuel didn't rip Kriya. Now the Gemara even questions, did Shvur Malka really kill 12,000 people? Shvur Malka wasn't necessarily a bad king. Umi kotal Shvur Malka Yudai. Did Shvur Malka really kill 12,000 Jews? V'am alei Shvur Malka l'Shmuel. We have conversations between Shvur Malka and Shmuel, where he says, Ta'isi li, I deserve to be rewarded. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give to me the little kotal Yudai Miyolim. I, as opposed to many other people, did not persecute the Jewish people. And I never killed a single Jew. So how can you tell me that he killed 12,000 Jews? So one says, no. When he says that he didn't kill any Jews, it means he didn't kill them without provocation. These 12,000 Jews that he killed in Mezigas Kesari, they were rebelling against him. If they're rebelling against him, so then he had a right to go and defend himself. So they caused their deaths by rebelling against him. The Omer of Ami, as Rav Ami had said, L'kol Yisere, the Mezigas Kesari, Pakashura de Lutkia. Rashi explains over here, L'kol Yisere means L'kol Kinoros Shemardu. They were playing musical instruments. They were playing various harps, Kinoros, because they were rebelling against him. And as a result of that, that caused the walls of the city of Lutkia to become broken, either from the noise or from the destruction that occurred. The rebellion was quelled, and Nebuch, 12,000 Jews were killed, but Shvur Malka didn't persecute them. He didn't kill them because they were Jews. He killed them because they were rebelling, and that's what Shvur Malka told Shmuel. I didn't kill Jews just because they were Jews. I was a stern king, and I didn't allow rebellion to occur, so if anybody rebelled against me, and 12,000 Jews rebelled against me, so I did take action against them, but I didn't persecute the Jews. I didn't just kill Jews because they were Stam Jews, like many, many Rishoyim have done throughout our tragic history. Then the next thing in the Brice, it said, Al Birkas Hashem Rachmona Lutzlan, if you hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name being blasphemed, so then you have to rip Kriya, a permanent Kriya. Minalan, where do we see the source of that? So as background, you have to know the following. This is really the source of Eicha. The writing of Eicha came from this story. When the Navi Yirmiyahu sent a message to the king Yehoyakim at that time, he was a horrible king, and Yirmiyahu essentially wrote, before the Churban, the main prokim of Eicha, and he sent them to Yehoyakim as a warning. You better do tshuva. You better lead the people in tshuva, or else there will be this terrible destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And he wrote the first and second parak of Eicha before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, as well as the fourth parak. And only after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash were the third and the fifth parak of Eicha written, and it was all combined into Eicha that we say on Tisha B'Av. Now we'll come to that story in a moment, but now we get back to the start of this drasha, Birchas Hashem Yinolam, where do we see that one rips Kriya on Birchas Hashem? So, Tersif, here we have an earlier story. This is during the time of Melech Chizkiyo, and he sent a message to Rav Shoke, and Rav Shoke goes and blasphemes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you see this earlier in that Perek Yudches in Melachim Beis, and he sends a message to Rav Shoke. Rav Shoke blasphemes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he sent this message with three people, and they returned with ripped clothing. The Siv, the Pasuk, tells us, so you have El Yochim ben Chilkiyo, Asher Labayis. El Yochim ben Chilkiyo was the one in charge of the palace. Shevna Sofer, he was the scribe. And Yoach ben Osef Amaski, he was the one that recorded everything that had transpired. And they all came back to Chizkiyo the Melech, El Chizkiyo Kirue Begodim, with torn clothing. Now, Tan Rabbanon, the Braisa then goes and darshens this further. And it says, Echad HaShomeya, the Echad HaShomeya, Mi Pi HaShomeya, Chayav L'Kroa. Whether you actually heard it directly or you heard somebody else tell you what happened, if you heard blasphemy, Chayav L'Kroa, you have to go and rip Kriya. V'Aedim, however, the people that saw it originally and now are hearing it again or testifying in court about what they heard, Einon Chayav L'Kroa. They don't have to go rip a second time. Because they heard this blasphemy, and now they're only telling it over to the Beis Din, so the second time they don't have to rip Kriya again, because they already ripped Kriya beforehand. Now the Gemara says, what difference does it make? The Gemara says, even though they ripped Kriya at the time that they heard it, but now they're hearing it again, they're saying it again, so how come they don't have to rip Kriya a second time? So the Gemara says, no, that's not right. Don't think that, because they'll say, when Chizkiyo heard the blasphemy that Rav Shoke had said, so only did Chizkiyo Vayikra es begodav. He now was hearing it for the first time, so he ripped his garments. But the three people that were with him, El Yochim and Chilkiyah, Shevna Sofer and Yoach ben Asaph, they did not rip Kriya a second time. Hamelech Karav Heim Lo Karav, because they had heard it the first time and ripped Kriya then. And you see from here that they're not chayav to rip a second time. And how do you know that you're not allowed to ever go and sew that ripping up? So we are making the Zerushava that I mentioned before, that some had that Zerushava before, but you make the Zerushava Kriya Kriya. It's not clear exactly what the Zerushava is over here. Is it to the previous Maisa with David, or is it to the Maisa with Elisha? So there are different opinions over here. You have different Girsos over here in Rashi and the Runshberg, and in any event, it's some sort of Zerushava. It's not a full-fledged Zerushava, because this is from Nach, and you don't have Xerish Shavas from Nach. This is really an asmachta to this idea that they had that it can never be sewed up fully. Then we go to the story that I just mentioned before about Yirmiyahu, Sefer Torah Shenisraf Minolam. How do we know that the Sefer Torah is burnt, Rachmon Lassan, in your presence, that you have to go rip Kriya and it can never be sewed up? And here we have that story about Yirmiyahu going and sending this message to the king Yoyakim, who was a rotten king, and here's that story. The Siv, Ahi Kikro Yehudi Shalosh Delosos, the Rashi in the Ksiv Yad, which can be found on Chofei Omid Beis, tells us that this means the actual parashos, or the psukim, over here. Kilomar, and it says over here in the regular Rashi, Kilomar Arbo Psukim, the Delosos are the psukim, and it says, after he read three psukim, and then a fourth pasuk, we'll see that they read the first four psukim of Perek Aleph and Eicha to Yehoyakim, and he disparaged him. But then when they read the fifth pasuk, which said that he was going to lose his melucha, so that's when he blasphemed, and he went and ripped the Sefer Torah up. So this Sefer wasn't a Sefer Torah, but it was the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he destroyed, which were in this document, the words of Eicha that Yirmiyahu had sent him, and therefore that's where we'll see that you have to rip Kriya. So the pasuk says, he could call Yehudi Shalosh Delosos Yarbo. He read the first three and then the fourth pasuk. Now the girsa that we have is the Yikra Eha, but that's not the right pasuk. The pasuk doesn't have the vav, so it says Yikra Bisar Hasofer. So he cut it up with the razor of the sofer, and he threw the askaris of the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the fire. Asher el ho'och v'gomer. And the v'gomer is, the end of the pasuk is, at kol ha'megilo aloesh asher al ho'och. Och is like the fireplace the fire was in. And this is towards the end of Yirmiyahu where you find this pasuk. So we now darshan this. My shalosh delosos yarbo. What does it mean? The first three psukim and then the fourth pasuk. So amulei lo yokim. So they said to the melech Yoyakim, cause have Yirmiyahu sefer, he knows. Yirmiyahu wrote the first perek, and then the second perek, and then the fourth perek, of what would subsequently become Echa, and we're reading it to you. So they didn't get a chance to read the whole thing to him. So Amalu Maksiv Ba, so he said, no, what did Yirmiyahu write to me? So they wrote the first pasuk. They said, Echa Yoshva Badad, the famous first pasuk of Echa, one of the saddest psukim of all time. Echa Yoshva Badad, Ha'ir Rabasi Om, Ha'isok Yalmana, Rabasi Vagoyim, Sorasi Bamedinos, Ha'isolamas. So they read him that first pasuk about Nebuch, the city of Yerushalayim, being alone, not being populated. That's what's going to happen. This was in Avua. So Amalahu. So he said, Anamalka. It's a big deal. I'm the king. This doesn't impact me. If parts of my kingdom, unfortunately, the people died, that doesn't impact me. So as Rashi says, Amalka Loksiv Klum. You didn't mention anything about the king, and I'm the king, so I don't care about that. A terrible attitude for a king, that he doesn't care that one of the most important cities, if not the most important city in his kingdom, is going to be destroyed. Nope, they read the next pasuk. Amulei b'chosiv keba laila b'gomer. They read the second pasuk that the city is going to be weeping and crying very, very much. B'chosiv keba laila. So he says, big deal. Again, anamalka, doesn't impact me. Therefore, I don't care. The third pasuk goes to Yehuda Meoni. The people of Yehuda are going to go into exile. Meoni from poverty, from terrible affliction. He says, again, anamalka, doesn't impact me. I'm the king. The fourth pasuk, Da'achet Zion Avelos, that the roads are going to be filled with people with mourning in the exile. And again, he says, doesn't bother me. Anamalka. He didn't mention anything about the king yet. So, I'm the king. I don't care. The fifth pasuk, Hayut Tzoreha L'Rosh. All of a sudden, you ain't the king anymore. Your enemies, the Tzoreha, will become the kings. They'll take over. The king will be deposed. You're going to be destroyed. Oh, all of a sudden, he gets upset. Amlu Manomer, who's the one that said this over here? And they told him, they read to him further, Ki Hashem Hogah Arov Pishoeha. That's the end of the fifth pasuk. Hayut Tzoreha L'Rosh, that was the beginning of the pasuk. Ayveh Shalu Ki Hashem Hogah Arov Pishoeha Ololehochu Shavi Lifnei Tzar. So here, he's being deposed. All of a sudden, he gets upset. Miyad, immediately, the king Yoyakim Kodar Kol Askaru Shabbat. He cut out all the shames of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this Megillah that Yirmiyahu had sent. Usrafon Ba'esh. And he went and he burnt it in the fire. Tosus asks over here, how do we know that this was the Askaros? It seems to imply Tema Va Dekara Bitar Hasofer Mashma Kol Megillah. It seems to imply that he ripped up the entire Megillah. However, he brings down from the Yushami Lo Gersina Askaros. The Yushami doesn't have the word Askaros over here. Miyad Kardar Kol Megillah and Usrafim Eish. They burnt the entire Megillah. We have the Gersa over here that it was just the shameless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he cut out and burned. Behind the Siv, that's what the pasuk says later on in Yirmiyah, where it tells us. They didn't go and become afraid from hearing this terrible prophecy from Yirmiyahu, and they did not tear their clothing. And therefore, we see from here, when you see this Sefer Torah, this Megillah, being ripped up, the Askaros of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being thrown into the fire, ripped up, you should have ripped Kriya, and they didn't. Maybe it was because of the prophecy over here. The Shmuel's rose. So Gemara says, no, that can't be it. Abai says to Rapapa, these hadn't yet come true. These were prophecies. If they had listened to the prophecies and done tshuva, they wouldn't have come true. So these aren't Shmuel's rose. These are prophecies. And for something in the future, you don't rip Kriya now. Shmuel's rose, Bai Shaita, Mihavu. They weren't yet Shmuel's rose. They were prophecies. So they should have done tshuva. They should have fasted. They should have asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Mechila, Slichel, Chapara, and change their ways. But that's not a reason to rip Kriya over here. Similarly, Amar Rechelbo, Amar Rav Huna, Rechelbo said in Rav Huna, Haroa Sefer Torah Shenikra, if you see a Sefer Torah that's been burned, Rechmon and Litzlan, Chayev Likroa, Shtei Kriyos, you have to rip two times. Why two times? One, you have to rip over here because of the gvil. One, you rip because of the parchment that was burned, the echod alaksav, and one for the letters, the writing that was unfortunately burned. And where do we see this from? Shedamah, because the pasuk tells us from Yirmiyahu, where it says, Shedamah, achrei sof ha-melech ha-megillah, after the melech Yoyakim burned the Megillah, the esadvarim, and then it adds on the esadvarim, the Megillah, that's the gvil, and the dvarim, those are the words that were written down. Implication being that you have two Kriyas that you have to go and rip. Similarly, Rabbi Abba and Rav Huna Bar Chiya Havu Yasvei. One time, Rabbi Abba and Rav Huna, they were sitting together learning. Now, the Gersa that we have is Kamei de Rabbi Abba, which doesn't make any sense, at least on the surface. So therefore, the Masoros HaSas changes this around to Kom Rebbe Abba. Now, the Ranjbuk over here as well brings down that change, but he also says you could still learn this as if the Gersa that we have, that it was in front of Rebbe Abba, that there may have been more than one Rebbe Abba. So you have Rebbe Abba, number one, and Rav Huna Bar Chiya, they were sitting there, and they were sitting there in front of Rebbe Abba, another Rebbe Abba. In any event, come Rebbe Abba gets up, and boy, liafnuye, because he had to go to the bathroom, so he was going away from the learning. Shakle the totefte, he takes off his tefillin, and achsia beisajah, and puts him down on a bed, on a pillow that's over there, because he's going to the bathroom, and you don't wear your tefillin in the bathroom. While he's about to go into the bathroom, asai bas na'amisa, a ostrich comes along. That's what the Rashi and the Ksiviyat explains, that this na'amisa is a yana, which is usually translated as an ostrich, and boy limivloy, and wanted to eat his tefillin, right? Ostrich is a big bird, and wanted to swallow his tefillin. But he stopped the ostrich from doing so, and he said, Amar hashta, if the ostrich had gone and destroyed my tefillin, eaten my tefillin, ichayv unlishtei kriyas, it would have to give kriya twice, once for the gvil, for the parchment, and once for the words on it. That's what Rabbi Abba said. And Rav Huna Bar Chiya said to him, that's incorrect. Amalei, Rav Huna Bar Chiya said to Rabbi Abba, mina lo ha, where do you see that you have to go and rip kriya if the ostrich had eaten your tefillin twice? This exactly happened to me once before. And I went to ask for Masa, do I have to rip kriya twice or not? Rav Masa didn't know the answer, so I went. I went to the Gadol HaDor to Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda paskin. Then he said, this is what Shmuel said. Rav Yehuda first learned by Rav, and when Rav passed away, he went to learn by Shmuel. So he quotes often, and throughout Shas, we have many members from Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav, and then members of Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel. And he said, this is what Shmuel, my rabbi, said. Hochem Shmuel. Lo Amru. They only said that you rip kriya twice, once for the gvil and once for the words. Ela bizroa uchamasi shahaya. Only if it was bizroa. Rashi says shein yochel atzilo, where you were unable to go and save it, and like the Maisa Shoya with Yo-Yokim, this terrible tragedy that Yirmiyahu had sent to Yo-Yokim, the Echa, and he ripped it up. But Rashi continues, and he says, if an ostrich comes along, the Motzi L'Hatzil, and you could have prevented it, Lo Mikra, then you don't go and rip Kriya if the ostrich went and ate it, because A, it was preventable, and it wasn't exactly like the Maisa with Yo-Yokim, where it was done intentionally by a person to destroy it, as opposed to an ostrich has no intention. Then the Gemara says, in the Braisa we said, if a person sees the Ari Yehuda, the Mikdash, and Yerushalayim, that you have to rip Kriya. So, Ari Yehuda Minolim. How do we know that if you see the cities of Yehuda, the Nebuch are in destruction, that you have to go and rip Kriya? Dechsev. Because here we have a Pasuk from Yirio that tells us as follows. Vayavo Anoshim Mishchem, Mishilo, Umishomron. Now this Pasuk is talking about after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash in the times of Gedaliah ben Achikom, who was Nebuch assassinated. And it says that the people came, they didn't know that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and they're coming through from where they were coming from, and they're passing through the destroyed cities of Yehuda, but they're bringing with them things for the Beis HaMikdash to be sacrificed in the Beis HaMikdash. So these people came, they came from these places that were somewhat far away from Yerushalayim, and they're coming there, Shmona Mish, 80 men, Megulche Zokon, they had shaved off their beards, ukruy begodim, and they ripped kriya, umizgoded them, and they did gedida, which is to cut their flesh in mourning, because they saw the cities of Yehuda in destruction. But they didn't know the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, umincha ulavona biyodim. They brought mincha offerings and lavona, frankincense, lahavi Beis Hashem, to be brought as korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash v'gomer. I'm not sure what the Vegomer is, because that's really the end of the Pasuk, L'Hovi Beis Hashem, so I don't know if it means to read the next Pasuk or not. In any event, you see from over here that just from the seeing the Ari Yehuda in destruction, Nebuch, you had to go and rip Kriya. Amar Bichalbo, Amar Ula Bira, Amar Bialazar. Rabbi Chalbo said over the name of Ula Bira, who said over the name of Bialazar, Aroeh Ari Yehuda b'churbanon, if you never see the cities of Yehuda in their churbanon, in their destruction, Omer, you should say the following: Ari Kachicha, your holy cities, Hayu Midbar, have now become Nebucha Midbar, the Koreah, and then you rip Kriya. If you see Yerushalayim b'churbanon Nebuch, you see the city of Yerushalayim in its destroyed state, so Omer, you say the following: Tzion Midbar Hayisah, Yerushalayim Shemama. You should say that Tzion has become a Midbar, and Nebuch Yerushalayim has become Shemama, has become destroyed. The Korea, and then you rip Kriya. And Nebuch, when you see the Beis HaMikdash b'churbanon, when you see the Beis HaMikdash in its Nebuch destroyed state, so Omer, you say, Beis Kodshenu, our house, our holy house, the Sefartenu, and our splendor, Asher Hilucha Vosenu, where we praised you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where our forefathers praised you, Hoyol Lesrefa Seish has never become burned, the whole Machamadenu, and everything that was important to us, everything that we enjoyed, Hoya Lechorva Nebuch has become destroyed, and then Vekorea Yerib Kriya. And this Nusach and similar Psukim, we find that Halach Lamaisa brought down in Shulchan Aruch, when you see these places, the Makam HaMikdash in Yerushalayim and its destruction, so then you have to go and rip Kriya and say this. So that concludes all of the things in the Braisa that we said that you have to rip a permanent Kriya on. But the Braisa concluded and said, Korei al Mikdash u'mosav Yerushalayim. If you saw the Mikdash first and you rip Kriya, then you just have to add on to it if you are then seeing Yerushalayim b'chorbanim. So Gemara says, Ramina, but wait a second, we have a different Braisa that says, Echad Shomea, if you heard, Echad Ro, or if you see about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, you see the Har HaBayis destroyed, or you hear about the destruction, Kivan Shegiya LeTzofim Koreh, when you reach Tzofim, which is an area outside of Yerushalayim, you have to rip Kriya. Now Rashi in the Ksiv Yad, again, which is found on Chofei Omud Beis, says that the one who hears about it isn't today. That's talking about a person who was living in the time of the Beis HaMikdash and Nebuch, like these Shmonim men that came from Shechem, Shiloh, and the Shomron. If they had heard about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, they would have had to have ripped Kriya. They didn't know about it. They were going to the Beis HaMikdash. They thought it was still in existence. And then it continues, it says, a Koreya al Mikdash b'fnei atzmo. And then when they reach the Beis HaMikdash, and they actually see the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, they have to rip Kriya separately. The Yerushalayim b'fnei atzmo. And so they ripped separately for the Mikdash and separately for Yerushalayim. So how can you tell me that you're allowed to be Mosif on the original Kriya, that you can be just Mosif for Yerushalayim? So it seems the two Braises are contradictory. So where it says, no, not contradictory, lo kasha. It depends. Where the first Brais that it said that you're allowed to be Mosif, that's when you first came to the Beis HaMikdash. You were in a Sheda Teva Migdol. You didn't see the destruction around you. You came in through a back entrance and you didn't see the city of Yerushalayim. So first you saw the Mikdash, so then you can be Mosif by Yerushalayim. That's the first Braisa. But the second Braisa, which says you have to rip separately for Yerushalayim and then separately for the Beis HaMikdash, hold the pog of Yerushalayim duration. That's the normal way. You're coming in through Yerushalayim, Nebuch, you see it's in ruins, you have to rip Kriya. Then you get to the Beis HaMikdash, you have to rip a separate Kriya. You can't just be Mosif on Yerushalayim's Kriya for the Beis HaMikdash. So that's why the two Braises aren't contradictory. You're talking about two different circumstances. Another Braisa, Tana Rabbanon, Vechulon, in all of these situations that we were discussing, where you have to rip Kriya, Rashoyin L'Sholalon, you're allowed to go and partially go and sew them back together, Ulamolalon, that literally means to go and fold them up. Rashi says, L'Kapel Beged B'Tfira, you can fold it up in some way along the stitching, Ulalokton, that means to go and gather it in some sort of a way. Rashi in the Ksiv Yad, again found on Chofei Amud Beis, towards the very bottom, tells us that Ulalokton means Ogid biyodo kol akera, roshim sofa, you hold the entire teared part together from top to the bottom. V'chovet b'machat shtayim u'shlosh apamim, and you can sew it together in a certain way so that it is, again, partially sewn up, not fully sewn up. V'lasosan kimin sulamos, or to make stitches there that are like a ladder, irregular stitches. As Rashi over here says, she'ein malakdin zeh somuch lezeh, avol zeh rochum izeh, you sew it up with stitches that are far away from each other. So in all of these situations, that you're allowed to do, avol lo la'achosan, but not to fully stitch it up in the most perfect way that restores the garment to the way it was originally. Amr Ruchissa says, we turn to Chavova Medeid. Ruchissa says, what is this perfectly sewing it up? That's called Bihui Alexandri. This is a certain type of stitching that fully sews it up. Tosos at the top, Tosos over here says, Biushami, it says, Ezo Ichui, what type of fully sewing this up is this Ichui Alexandri? It says, Koshein Makomo Nikar, that you can't tell that there was originally a tear over there. You sew it up so professionally that you can't tell anything was wrong originally. And he brings that from Masechus Smachos, Mefarish Kosh Shahuhu Kol Tzarcho. In other words, you finished the entire repair, you did a perfect sewing it up, you're getting it back from the tailor, it's fully darned, it's fully repaired, that is not allowed to be done. Tanu Rabbanan, another braisa, HaKoreya, when somebody rips Kriya, Mitoch HaSholol, if you ripped it where a place that was previously partially sewn up, That's not called a good kriya. Mitoch hamola, again, where it was folded over and then just sewed up, that's not considered a good kriya because those are never considered fully repaired. So you're just adding on to an already existing kriya, and that's not good enough if you're chayiv to rip kriya. Likewise, mitoch haleke or mitoch hasulamos, these other types of partial stitching it up, if you were to rip kriya on any of these items when you're mechuyev to rip kriya, lo yatsa, because that never was considered untorn. It's already torn. It wasn't fully repaired. It's considered torn. And if you're mechuyev to rip a new kriya, you can't get away, so to say, with just ripping an already ripped garment. Lo yotza. However, if it was mitoch ha'ichoy, if you rip a garment that had previously been torn, but it was fully stitched up with this ichoy alexandri, this perfect type of a repair, then, in fact, if you were now to go rip kriya, yotza, you would have fulfilled your chiyav to go and rip kriya in this situation. And Amar Rav Chisda, this perfectly ripping it up that had been ripped and perfectly repaired. That's Be'ichui Alexandri, like I just mentioned. Talking about another bright, so Rashoi Lahov Cholamato Leachoso. If you're chayiv to do a kriya and it already had been torn, what you can do is turn it Lahovcho Lamato, to turn it upside down. So the top that was previously the top is now the bottom. And you can go rip what now is the top, which previously was the bottom, and you can go and sew up the bottom part now, which is not in the right place, and therefore the bottom part, which used to be the top, that you're allowed to go and fully repair it, even in those situations where you're not allowed to go and repair it. Rashi over here in the Ksiv Yad says the reason why you're allowed to do this is because it's no longer the same garment. By putting it, so to say, top to bottom, you flipped it around. What was previously the top is now the bottom. What was previously the bottom is now the top. So you've essentially changed it from being the garment that was ripped, and therefore you'd be allowed to go and sew it up. That's what the Tanakhama says over here in this Brisa. So Rav Shimon Eloza disagrees. Osele Achos, he says, no, it's the same garment. Just because you changed it around to make the top the bottom the top, that doesn't allow you to do this. Now, the next statement is some suggest is a continuation of Rav Shimon Eloza. He says you're not allowed to go and repair this even if you switch the top to the bottom to the top. And similarly, Ukashem Shamocher also lechoso, kachalokech also lechoso. If you sell this garment, so again, the simple understanding is a continuation of Rav Shimon Eloza that says that the person that you sold it to has the same restrictions, just like you weren't allowed to sew it up. He's not allowed to sew it up as well. Therefore, you have to tell him that you're not allowed to go and sew this up. You want to buy this as a shmata, but you're not allowed to go and sew it back up in a full way. So that's a simple understanding. This is a continuation of Shimon Eloza's statement. Tosas, on the other hand, says no, that this is a lekuli alma. Everybody holds like this, and this is not just Rav Shimon Eloza, this would even be the Tanakhama, says if you flipped it from top to bottom, then you'd be allowed to go and sew it up. But if you sell it and you don't flip it from top to bottom, then you have to inform the person that's buying it that you're not allowed to go and sew it back up. Another brayso, Tana Rabbanon, Techilas Kiriya Tefach, the original tear that you have to make has to be a Tefach. And then if you're going to be Mosif, the Tosefes, Shalosh Etzbos. That has to be an additional, to be considered significant, three Etzbos, three quarters of a Tefach. Divri Rabbah, that's Rabbah's opinion. Rav Yehuda Omer, no, the Tchilas Kriya is Shalosh Etzbos. The initial tear is only three Etzbos, and the Tosefes can be kosher, can be any amount. Doesn't give any specified amount, as long as you ripped it a little bit more. Tos was asked over here, where did they get this idea? In the Dibur Masal Tchilas Kriya, he says, Lo Yadana, mi mai nefik taima, dila'el, mafkinon tefach, mi vayachazik, en achizah pachas b'tefach. We learned previously that it's considered a tefach, that's what we said. The kriya, because you have to grab it and you grab on, it's a tefach. So where did he get the sheet of Yehuda of Shalosh Hezbos? But if you look in the Masoros Hashas, he tells you look at Osches, and he says, look in Kalim. Now here he has the Gersa of Perich of Dalet, but he himself writes later on, the editor over here says, Ulai Tzorch Lamar Perich of Zayin. And it's in fact, in Mishnah Beis and in Mishnah Yod, in Perich of Zayin, it talks about garments that are considered significant with three Etzbos of three finger breaths, so that's where this source is for Rav Yehuda, three finger breaths, Shalosh Etzbos. How do we paskin? Amar Ula, Halachi Rav Meir, Bekriya, V'Halachi Rav Yehuda, B'Tosefes. We paskin like a combination of both of them, that we follow Rav Meir's opinion that the Kriya has to be over here a Tefach, and we follow the opinion for the Hosofa, like Rav Yehuda, there can be even a Mashu. And I'll show you that this is right thing where it says Tanya Nami Yoka, because we have a Brisa that says the same thing. Rav Yossi Omer. Now, we paskin like Rav Yossi over both Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, so therefore, Rav Yossi Shita is given preference, and he paskins exactly like Ula just said, Tchilas Kriya Tefach, the initial Kriya has to be a Tefach, but then if you're doing a Tosefes, that could be Kol Shu. Tosus adds over here, this is the idea of Deyashli Shiach Rebineya, that Rav Yossi, in addition to the Repasim like Rav Yossi over Rav Meir or Rav Yehuda under normal circumstances, but here he's the Deyashli Shiach Rebineya. He's Paskining in part like Rav Yehuda and in part like Rav Meir. So it's really two against one each time. He Paskins like Rav Meir that you need the Tefach, so it's two against one. So therefore we Paskin like this. And he Paskins like Rav Yehuda for the Tosefta, so there it's two against one. That's the Deyashli Shiach Rebineya. We have another bride, the Tanur Rabban, and Amru lo mei saviv v'kara, Nebuch, they told somebody that his father passed away, and he ripped Kriya, and then Nebuch, mei's beno, then his son died, behosif, and therefore he extended the Kriya that he had ripped for his father. So, what is the halacha in terms of sewing this garment back up? So, tachton, the bottom part, which was the Kriya that he ripped for his son, the halacha is misacha, that you're allowed to eventually fully sew up. However, elyon, which was the Kriya that he ripped for his father, in a misacha, is never allowed to be fully repaired. Nebuch was the other way around. Meis beno v'kara. First his son Nebuch passed away and he ripped Kriya. And then subsequently his father passed away. Meis aviv v'osef. And he added on to the Kriya, ripping for his father. So then the opposite over here. El yo misacha. The top Kriya, which was for his son, that's allowed to be repaired after the shloshim, fully repaired. However, the tachton, which was the additional ripping that he had done Nebuch for his father's patira, so then tachton in a misacha, that's never allowed to be fully repaired. Brisa continues and tells us, Meis aviv Nebuch, if a person lost his father, Meis imo lost his mother, Meis achiv lost his brother, lost his sister, Meis achoso, they all died Nebuch at the same time in some tragedy. So Korea kera echad lekulam, so he can rip one Kriya on behalf of all of them. He found out about them all at once, so one Kriya can satisfy this requirement of ripping Kriya Nebuch on behalf of all of them. Rehudim Misera disagrees. Rehudim Misera Omer, no, for all the other relatives other than mother and father, you could rip one Kriya. Al Kula and Kera Echot. So Nebuch, he lost his brother and his sister, he would be allowed to rip one Kriya on behalf of both of them. However, Al Ovi Vima, but for a father or for a mother, Kera Echot, he has to rip one Kriya separately for a mother and a father. Why? Lefishen Mosifim Al Kera Ovi Vima, because he can't go and extend the Kriya to be Mosif on the Kriya for a father and mother, because it doesn't look like you're doing a separate Kriya for somebody else. It looks like you're just continuing the Kriya for your father and mother. You can never, quote, rip enough remembering the mother and the father. So if you be Mosif over here, it doesn't look like you're ripping for the brother or the sister, Nebuch, that passed away also. It looks like you're just being Mosif on the Kriya for your father and mother. Therefore, you have to rip separately. What's the svara behind this? My time up. What the Gemara is really asking over here is, okay, so don't rip for the father or the mother first. Rip for the brother and the sister first, and then be Mosif onto that Kriya. Here you don't have a problem of people saying, oh, he's just adding on to the original mother and father Kriya. No, first he rips for the brother and the sister, let's say. And then he rips additionally for the mother and the father. Why not do that? My time up. So I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak, that's not right. Lefish Enem B'Tosefes. The mother or the father shouldn't be in an afterthought, a Tosefes to an already existing Kriya. How do we paskin? Do we paskin like the Tanakam or Yehuda ben Misera or Meshmuel Halacha or Yehuda ben Misera? We paskin over here like Yehuda ben Misera that you can rip separately for the parents, albeit you could rip all the others, Akul and Kaira Echot. Did Shmuel really say this? We said, Halachi Tivri Yameka Be'evil. We've been saying multiple times that Shmuel normally goes like the more lenient opinions. The more lenient opinion would be the Tanakama that argued with Yehuda Maseru that said, Korea Kera Echod Lekulon. So how come here he's passing Shmuel like the more machmer opinion, so to say, of Yehuda Maseru, that you have to have a separate rip for the parents and one other rip, Akulon Kera Echod? So Gemara says, no, because this is not a din of Avelus. Avelus, Shmuel's very Mekulon. Avelus Lechod, that's a separate din. However, Kriya, which is a detail in Avelus, that's a separate discussion, and therefore Lav Dafka, that Kriya is going to go like the Momekal opinion. Now the Gemara says, Ad Hechon Korea, how much are you allowed to go and rip down before you have to start, so to say, a new rip? Where is it still considered that you're ripping from the top, from the Tzavor, which is where you have to rip? So the Tanakama says, Ad Tiburo, that as long as you're not yet up to the umbilicus, until the belly button, to the middle of the body, so then it's still considered you're ripping from the top. Others say, no, v'yeshem ad libo, once you reach the heart, so if you're going to rip further than that, so then it's not called from tzavaro, from the top, and you have to go start a separate ripping. If you're going to rip the same garment, you have to rip in a different location. And the Brisa continues, afa pish ein ra'eladover, even though we don't have a proof, we have an asmach to this, a zecher to this, from the following. The pasuk says, this is a pasuk from Yoel, Shenemar v'kiru levavchem v'al bigdechem. You should go rip to your heart, but not on your clothing. What does that mean? You should tear your hearts. In other words, there should be tshuva involved over here, not just a physical ripping of your clothing. So therefore, this seems to allude to the idea that it's called ripping up until the heart, ad libo. If you reached, according to the Tanakama, then you reached to the umbilicus, to the middle of the body, to the belly button, so so then you have to start a new row. You can't keep on ripping and be mosif at that point. It doesn't look like you're ripping from the top. So marachik shalosh etzbaos, you have to move three etzbaos away the koreh, and then you rip the kriya for the other relative nebuch, you start again from the top. If you ripped so much, nismali mevhor nebuch, this was a shoah, this was a person who lost a tremendous number of his family, brothers and sisters, so many people, the Kleisenberger, so many others, they lost their entire families, lost 11 children. So nismali mevhor, if you ripped kriya, they were very poor, they may have only had one garment, and they ripped that garment, they ripped, and there was no more room in the front to do rips anymore. They ripped it all the way down to the point where it's not called savarav, and so they have to start a new row, and nebuch, the new rows are all filled up, rachmona lutzlan, nismali mevhor, if they all became filled, so they must. You can turn the shirt around so the front is in the back and the back is in the front, and now you have more place that you can physically rip, so you can go and tear now in the front, which was previously the back. If all the top part of the garment became ripped, there's no room front or back, it's all done, so then flip it around and have the bottom be the top be the bottom, and now you can rip again. But Vakori milamata, if you were to rip at the bottom, say, why do I have to flip it around? I'll just rip from the bottom. So uminat stad, but from the side, that's lo yotzi. That doesn't fulfill the obligation. You have to rip from the top, from the tzavara, from the area where you put your head into the garment. Ella, the only person that does that is kohen gadol, pori milamata. The kohen gadol doesn't have to do. He's not allowed to do prima. He's not allowed to rip his garments when he's in mourning. However, to show his avelos, he rips in a place that's not called technically ripping, and that's ripping from the bottom. So the kohen gadol can rip from the bottom because it's not really called ripping. But here we see the din that if you rip from the bottom, if you didn't flip it around and make the bottom the top, so then it's not called that you did kriya and you're not yotzi the obligation to rip kriya. Now we enter a machlokes, pligaba, Rav Masna, umarukva. Rav Masna and Marukva had a machlokes over here, and they both said, if a tabayu mishmei davu de shmuel the levi, and they said over their opinions in the name of avu de shmuel the levi. So this is a machlokes from an earlier generation of Amorim, the earliest generation, avu de shmuel the levi. Now, we don't know which one said which. Chad Amar, Kol Shiva Korea, Liacha Shiva Mosif. One of them said that during the week of the Shiva, if you hear Nebuch about another relative, so then if you rip, then you have to go and rip a brand new kriya. But if it's after the Shiva that you hear about this, so then you can just be Mosif. You don't have to rip a separate kriya. You can just be Mosif onto the original kriya. The other opinion was, Chad Amar, no, Kol Shloshim Korea, even if it was during the Shloshim period of time, Nebuch, you lost a second relative, then you have to rip a separate kriya for that second relative. You just can't be Mosif. But if it was after the Shloshim, Le'acha Shloshim, then you can just be Mosif. You don't have to rip a separate kriya. So Gemara questions the first opinion. Over here, Maskel Rezer. Rezer says, wait a second, man, the Yom Kol Shiva Korea. The first opinion said only during the Shiva do you have to make a separate kriya, but during the Shloshim you can just be Mosif. Am I? Why is that? Because you're going to tell me the low nitan l'sholalo, because you're not allowed to go and sew it up until the end of the Shiva, even the partial sewing it up. If that's the reason, so then we said, but a woman, because of tzniyas purposes, we said is allowed to go and sew it up a little bit from there. She can put a safety pin on it, she can go and sew it up with some irregular stitches at the beginning. So then, would she be allowed in this situation to just extend to be Mosif, even during the Shiva? You don't seem to differentiate between a man and a woman. So therefore, this opinion of yours is incorrect. So says, no. Technically, the woman's not allowed to go and be sholilah during the Shiva either. The only reason we allowed her to do that was because of tzniyas purposes. And therefore, it's not that she's allowed to go and sew it up. It's just that in order for her not to expose herself, we allow her to do so. But it's not because the dinim don't apply. So therefore, the dinim apply during the Shiva. So if Nebuch, somebody else, is going to be nifter during the Shiva, then even by a woman, the din would be you have to rip a new kriya, just like the first opinion said. Now we ask the similar question to the second opinion. Man diyama kol shloshim korea, according to the second opinion, it said that if somebody, Nebuch died, he had a second relative that passed away, during the entire shloshim, you have to rip a separate kriya. How come? Am I? The reasoning is, the lo nitan l'achosim, because you're going to tell me, because you're not allowed to go sew it up permanently until after the shloshim. But then you have the problem. Elo li'ovu v'imo, the lo nitan l'achos l'yolom hochanami. Are you going to tell me then, if it's dealing with a mother or father, so then, if for them, it's the entire Yud Beis Chodesh, then forever you're not allowed to go and sew it up. So you're telling me that you have to go rip a new kriya, according to this, even after the Shloshim? So Gemara says, no, that was a special din as well. Just like by the woman, it was a din of a covered Isha for the first opinion, so too, for the second opinion, it's not a kasha. Hasim Yishum covered of it, v'imohu. This is a special din in the covered of the mother and the father. We don't allow you to go and sew it up. But not because the din technically wouldn't be allowed to do so, and therefore, this is not a kasha on the second opinion as well. Trying to run with another bright, if a person goes out with a torn garment and he goes to visit Nebuch, a person who is sitting Shiva, and he's giving the appearance that he was so close to the Niftar that he's ripping Kriya for them. So So that's inappropriate. He's stealing from both the dead and from the living. What does this mean? He's stealing from the dead and from the living. So Rashi explains, for the dead, it looks like he's telling them, oh, shekar al ames, and he really didn't. And he's stealing from the living, in what way? Because those people say, oh, he really loved our relatives, so he ripped kriya, but he really didn't rip kriya. So therefore, he's gozel es ames and v'yesachayim. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel omer, ha'omer l'chaver, if a person tells his friend, hashilu chalukcha ve'elech ve'avaker es abba shuchole, let me please borrow your shirt, I'm going to visit my father, the hospital is in the ICU, and he's very, very sick, but let me please borrow your shirt. So that person understands that there's a chance that Nebuch, he's going to, wearing his shirt, and Nebuch, the person who he was visiting, his father, is going to die, and he's going to have to rip kriya on it. So the person understands, by definition, since he said, I'm going to visit my father who's sick, that there's a possibility that the shirt will need to have rip kriya on it. And then he goes there, and Nebuch, the father, is dead. Then he's allowed to rip the shirt, even though it's a borrowed shirt. However, he is required to, he's allowed to and required to go fix the shirt and give it back. And in fact, if the shirt decreased in price because it had a rip, even though it was fully sewn up, so he comes back to his house, gives him back the shirt for no sin, and whatever damage it occurred to it from having been ripped, and albeit it was sewn up well, if it lost its value, so he has to pay him back that value because he had the right to go and rip the shirt, but he didn't have the right to go and damage the other person. Any damage he caused the other person by having the shirt ripped and repaired, he has to pay him. However, if he didn't tell his friend, let me borrow your shirt, I'm going to visit my sick father, he just said, let me borrow your shirt, the guy said, sure. So then, I raise a little gabo. Then he doesn't have the right to go and rip it because the person never gave him permission to go and rip it. So now we're going to read on another bride. So, if the person who's sick, somebody dies for them, that would put them into a situation where they would be very much anguished. So this is true for a person who you're mechuyev to sit shiva for, but this would be true for anybody else that they would be terribly upset from. You're absolutely not allowed to tell them. This is a real halach lemaisa because ein modino so shemes shema titarev daito Allah, because you have to be concerned that in fact they will be some so depressed and upset they'll give up their will to live and it could cause the rachmana l'slan to die sooner. Likewise, ve'im mekayelim pafanav, you don't rip kriya in front of them because they'll understand what's going on. U'mishaskin sanosh mipanav, and likewise, if the women are singing dirges or they're mourning, you have to be very careful not to let the chola, the sick person, know. The sick person wasn't in the hospital, they were often in the house. And if the rest of the house, there's a shiva going on, you have to be very, very careful in the way the house is conducted in order not to, in any way, titariv daito, to make the sick person, chas v'shalom, give up hope because they'll be so upset. The Brisa tells us in addition, Elden, that normally we're not mechanech children in Avelus, but here we rip kriya on this young child, not because it's a chiv to rip kriya on the young child, but we do this to expand the agmas nefesh, the nebuch, the situation that this young child is an orphan now, so that causes all the other people around there to have a greater mourning. And therefore, we are ripping the child's garment for kriya, not because of the chiv on the child, but because of the agmas nefesh, the terrible calamity that occurred should be clearly understood by other people. When you see a nebuch, a child saying kaddish and shul, your heart goes out. So if you see this little child, we have the ripped garment, so your heart's going to go out for them. The Koronel Chomo Vial Chamoso Mibnei Kvod Ishto, and we had this din previously that a person should rip his garments. We're not knowing to do this today, but we do have certain aspects that are available when a person's wife Nebuch lost her mother or father. When a person loses their mother or father, so there's certain actions that they should also be abstaining from when they're in the presence of their wife. So they used to rip kriya for the mother-in-law or the father-in-law because of the cover that one should give to his wife. So out of respect for your wife, you would rip kriya for your in-laws. Rapapa says, Tana Be'Evel Rabasi, we learned in Evel Rabasi, we mentioned many times, Evel Rabasi is what we call today Masechta Smachos, which is a euphemism for the Dinim of Avelus. So it says there, Avel lo yaniach tinok besocheko b'nei shemevi'in l'dei schok b'nin so mizgane al abrios. And this is a din that often is not really followed in the base Avel, because it sometimes brings great comfort to the Avelim, especially the grandparents, to hold their grandchildren. And therefore, this is often, unfortunately, only followed in the breach. But the basic din is that the Avelim shouldn't be holding little children because it gives them great joy and it brings them to laughter and they forget about the Niftor and Nifteres and it doesn't look good to the other people. But Nimsum is gone el abrios, and it's something to say, hey, listen, I came here to comfort you and I see that you're not in a position of sadness. You're having a good time with your grandchildren or great-grandchildren, so therefore it's inappropriate. Now we finally finished all these braises, and we go back to the Mishnah where we said, Ein Mavrin, now we don't have the word El over here, but the Mesos HaShas adds the word Ella. So the Ein Mavrin, Ella al mitos ukufos, that we do the Suda Savara on mitos that are put back upright. The mitos are flipped over, their beds were different, and they flipped them over. That was one of the acts of Avelus that they would do during the Shiva. However, for the Suda Savara, they would be allowed, some say the mourners themselves would be allowed, others say it's talking about the other people would be allowed to eat on mitos ukufos, that you don't have to go and sit down low with the mourner, you could go sit on a regular bed, and some say even the mourner could go sit on a regular bed. Now, Tana Rabban, we learned in the Braisa, Haholech Lebeiso Evel, if you go Nebuch to a house of Shiva, so Im Hoyolibo Gasbo, if you felt very, very close to Nebuch, the person who was Nifter, Yavru Amitos Kefuyis, you're allowed to go sit with him on a low bed. But if you don't feel so close to the person, Yavru Amitos Zukufas, then you can go and sit on an upright bed. In other words, you would sit on a normal chair, and again, the Machlok is, does the oval sit with you or not? So that depends on the two different opinions that we brought down before. Now, in the Rashi Ksiviyat over here, he brings down, sometimes you go to a Shiva house, Nebuch, the person who passed away, is 105 years old, and they lived a long, happy, healthy life. And, you know, Baruch Shem, they have wonderful payros. So the people that are sitting Shiva aren't in the same horrible emotional state as somebody, Nebuch, that lost a 20-year-old kid. So obviously, the emotions, you never, ever are going to not feel emotional loss. So it's not to say that, you know, you're sitting Shiva for a 105-year-old great-great-grandparent, that it's not a terrible loss. And my wife always says, she's a very smart woman, and she always says that actually you had the wonderful pleasure of their company for so many more years, the loss is felt even greater than somebody who wasn't around as long. But in any event, it's not talking about the emotional loss, but sometimes if the person is not in the same emotional distress because the person had lived a long, happy life, so then in that situation, the Ksiviyat Rashi says, so then you can go and sit with them on the higher chair that they would be allowed to go and sit with you on the mitos zukufos. Okay. Rava Isra be Milsa, Nebuch Rava lost one of his members of the Zion Krovim, and he had to sit Shiva. And all the Gabe, and to go and be Mavaker, to do Nicham Avelim, was Abba Bar Marta, who was also known to Abba Bar Minyumi, the same person, he was known as Abba Bar Marta or Abba Bar Minyumi. In any event, he came to him, and Rava Zokif, so Rava gave him an upright place for him to sit on, and he didn't have him sit with him low down. So Abba B'marso Kofi, but Abba B'marso, Abba B'minyumi, he went and he turned it over so he would sit low on the ground with Rava. And Rava was surprised at this. Amar Rava said, Kama les bei daitel hait suvim rabbonim. This young Talmud Chacham, this Abba Bar Marto, Abba Bar Minyumi, is doing something wrong. He's a young Talmud Chacham, but he doesn't have common sense. What is the problem? So the two possibilities over here. Either he felt very, very close to Rava, and if we wanted to sit down with him on the floor, but Rava didn't feel so close with him and was surprised that he felt so close to Rava that he would sit with him on the floor, or he said he thinks that it's okay to go sit on the higher level because he doesn't see that I'm emotionally distressed, so he's, so to say, bringing me to sit with him. And that's inappropriate because I am distressed, and who does he think he is to say that I'm not distressed? Okay. Tarban, we have one more braisa. Haholek, mimokom, if a person goes from one place to another place, he was doing business, and then Nebuch, as Rashi in the Ksiviyat tells us, Ve'eru Evel Baderech, Nebuch, he lost one of the Zayin Krovim while he's on his business trip over here, so what should he do? So, Im Yochol Amayapisko, if he can go and limit his business dealings, we're dealing here with the Dover Ovid, Tosus tells us, we had this discussion previously, so if he can go and minimize whatever business he's doing, so you might, he should certainly do so. V'im Lav, but if he's unable to do so, so Yegal Gel Imon, so he should let the other people that are on the business trip with him do business. Normally, they're not allowed to do business for him. As the top Rashi says, "Eino osis schora b'fnei atzmo elum chabura." He's doing things over here in a way that he normally would not be allowed to do on his own. But since he's doing business with other people, so they're allowed to continue. He doesn't have the right to go and force them to take a financial loss. So they're allowed to continue on their behalf and therefore on his behalf as well. They're partners, whatever the situation may be. So Yigal Gelimom, he's allowed to go and do business with them. They're doing the work, but he shouldn't do the work. They can do the work for him. With this, we conclude today's share.